What's the source of wisdom? How can you live a more conscious life? Sometimes it's the questions that bring you your own quantum leaps. Wisdom Talk Radio brings you conversations with visionary thinkers, business mentors, and provocative authors and teachers, along with resources that point the way for you to claim your potential in service to the world. Join Laurie Seymour at Wisdom Talk Radio for explorations in conscious living. Subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcast or find us at Wisdom Talk Radio on Facebook.
Good morning, Figgy Goddess, and welcome to another episode of the My Figgy Life podcast. You guys have been sending me so many questions about Vaseline, petroleum jelly, petrolatum in skincare. And you see it in the ingredients in your skincare products. So today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about all the myths related to petroleum jelly. We're going to talk about the pros and the cons, if there are. And we have a wonderful expert dermatologist on the show today, Dr. Natalia Spearings, that's going to take us through it with her expert guide on it. So stay tuned for this episode.
Welcome, Goddess, to your sacred space. This is My Figgy Life podcast, where we openly discuss life's wins and losses on our journeys to self-discovery. This is your best life. This is your Figgy Life. And now, here is your host, Jean.
Welcome back, Figgy Goddess. I am so excited to present our guest today, Dr. Natalia Spearings. She is a UK-trained consultant dermatologist and fellowship-trained MOH micrographic surgeon with practices in both London and Dubai. She has a master's in aesthetic medicine from Queen Mary University of London and is known by her patients for her pragmatic and evidence-based approach to aesthetic procedures. She recently published her first book, Skintelligent, What You Really Need to Know to Get Great Skin, to help people navigate the confusing world of skincare with facts, not fiction. Ding, ding, ding. That's everything we're all about. Drawing on a decade of work as a practicing consultant dermatologist, helping thousands of people achieve great skin, Dr. Spearings will empower you with the knowledge to navigate the confusing world of skincare so you never get fooled into buying hundreds of pounds of disappointing cosmetic skincare products ever again. She can currently be seen on series 4 of Channel 5's Skin A&E, the specialist clinic where a team of top dermatologists treat a range of skincare conditions for patients who often haven't been able to get treatment on the NHS. Thank you so much for being here. We are so excited to welcome you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
We're dropping you into the deep end with this really highly contested kind of subject in the skincare world, but it's something that we need to talk about. And Figgy Goddess, as you know, I have dry and sensitive skin. The Figgy Beauty line was launched as an answer to my panic disorder and the symptoms that come with that, because if you listen to the podcast, you know your skin is your biggest organ. If it's upset, you're upset. But I also do believe that skincare, like anything else you put inside your body or that you use on your skin, is a super personal choice. It's your choice what you put in your body or what you use. But for me personally, when I make those choices, I like to know that I'm basing it on fact and I'm making informed decisions. So this is what this episode is about. We're just going to give you the facts so that you can make informed decisions about your personal choices and how you want to navigate your skincare routine. So, Dr. Spearings, I think before we start with this entire conversation, during this episode, when we're talking about petroleum jelly or petrolatum or Vaseline or mineral oil, it's the same thing. We're referring to the same general theme of things.
Pretty much. I mean, there's slight differences in what the words mean, like paraffin oil, paraffin wax, petroleum jelly. Vaseline is obviously a brand name for a product, and that's not exactly. It's not, they say it's 100% petroleum jelly, but it's not pure petroleum jelly, which we can probably talk about. It's really confusing because there's so many words for the same thing, like mineral oil. I would say that we can probably use all the words interchangeably. I think it's fine.
So let's just say for this podcast episode, we're going to use them interchangeably, but there are technical, if you want to get into the technicalities of it, there are some technical difficulties, but we're trying to refer to petroleum jelly, petrolatum, the things that you basically see in your skincare products and that you see in Vaseline. We're going to talk about that. And for us to understand why this is such a debate, we first need to understand, why do we care about it? Why is it so great for our skin? And why do we see it in so many skincare products? What does it do?
So the fundamental idea is of a moisturizer. So what a moisturizer is, it traps water in the skin, or prevents water loss, transepidermal water loss, which is basically water loss from your stratum corneum. And that maintains hydration in the skin. So hydration is literally water content. That's where this is relevant, because petroleum jelly is considered the most occlusive agent that exists basically within skincare to apply to the skin to prevent transepidermal water loss. And that basically means it acts as a moisturizer. So moisturizers don't impart anything on the skin. Generally, they just prevent water loss. The more occlusive that barrier, the more kind of thick and sticky it is, like Vaseline, the better it is at preventing water loss. And that's why it's important for skincare, because it's a very fundamental issue. So what is a moisturizer? How does a moisturizer work? And where does Vaseline or petrolatum fit in that? And so to me, petrolatum is the most effective moisturizer that is available on the market, which is why it's basically in every moisturizer in some shape or form.
And when we're talking about something being occlusive, we're really saying it's that seal that forms on the skin to prevent that beautiful water that we want inside our skin to stay inside the skin. And when you're saying that it's one, for you, one of the best moisturizers there is, I've done so much research on this, and there is just so much scientific evidence, proven evidence of what a great occlusive this is. Is that correct?
Correct. It's the first ever moisturizer to exist. So it was 1872 that Vaseline was first made by a chemist. And that's kind of where it all started. And it was in response to the use of a bar soap. So bar soap was invented in the 1850s, roughly, to cleanse your skin. And that was a whole new concept in kind of the Western world, to cleanse your skin, to use a soap. And soap is very drying. To combat the drying effect of soap, we needed to start using moisturizers. And that's kind of the long story short of how moisturizers came to existence. And Vaseline is basically the first one that was marketed as that. And then that was in the 1870s. And then it just went from there.
So when we're talking about this, I think this is one of the ingredients that people just love to hate. And when I'm talking about people, I'm saying, and I'm including skin influencers. There are a lot of expert dermatologists out there that love a more natural and holistic approach that are also saying these things. And that's what makes it so confusing, because the social media conversation is just so broad and big, and everybody has their own opinions, which is obviously fine. But again, we have to always remember to kind of base that on the facts and to help us make the informed decisions that we need to make. And I think one of the reasons people love to hate it is, unfortunately, it has not been blessed with a really good name.
Yeah, I was going to say, the name is just terrible. Like, if we could have named it, and if they could have named it anything else, great. But the problem is that is the actual scientific, it makes sense from a science point of view, because it is, petrolatum is a refined crude oil. So it does come from petrol. It's just a unfortunate name, because people immediately freak out about that, for good reason, because the problem with the name petrolatum is that it's used as a very general term to refer to all forms of petrolatum. So whether it's been refined or not, because in within like the FDA and the EU regulatory bodies, they don't distinguish the different levels of refinement. And so that the inky list and the terminologies, the word is the same everywhere, despite what it's used in, if that makes sense. And I think if you have I'm not a chemist, right? But it's a very complicated area of semantics, like words, that if you're not a chemist, it's something that you're never going to understand what a polynuclear aromatic compound is and why that's relevant to this conversation. You know, I mean, I'm not a chemist either. I have a good grasp of chemistry at a, like, kind of an A-level, and I can kind of understand it, but as a clinician, I don't really need to understand that much of it. But I think what happens is, if you really don't know what you're looking at, then you will just read a sentence and not understand it. And you're a skincare influencer and you just jump on the, oh my God, it's made of petrol, it's terrible for you.
This can be said with many of the ingredients. And when we're talking about an inky list, it's that little ingredient list on the back of the product that you need to look at to see what's inside of the product and to understand what you are putting on your skin. So there are many ingredients like this that are getting a really bad rap because it's not understood. But there are certain rules and regulations as to how you are supposed to name these ingredients that are in your products. And that is why it has this like chemical name, so that it can be defined correctly when you're submitting your product to understand whether it's safe for use or not and to trace where everything is coming from. So take us through this process a little bit, because it's not that you're putting crude oil on your face, right? There is a huge refinement process this needs to go through to be able to be a cosmetic grade ingredient. Can you talk us through that and help us understand why it became so easy for people to just think, okay, I'm putting crude oil on
my face. Oil becomes petroleum through an extraction of what's called hydrocarbons, so liquid hydrocarbons. And that happens as in each refining step. And it's done in these giant petrolatum refinery factories that are mainly based in Africa, actually. And it just goes through this system of vacuum distillation, absorption, vacuum distillation followed by filtration of the residue through bone char, which then yields petroleum jelly. And then that goes through further refinement. I kind of think of it like taking a block of wood and then chiseling it into like a sculpture. So you're taking your crude oil and you're just putting it through all these sieves and things, and in order to get down to the very, very basic or very refined product. So that's what refinement basically means.
It's a highly refined byproduct of this, right?
Yes.
And there are insane, crazy rules about understanding that it's safe, which we will get to. But what kind of comparison I always use or like to use, it's obviously not at all the same thing. But just to try and explain that, just because it comes from this certain source doesn't mean that's what you're putting on your skin. It's the same as water. Most of our drinking water come from still standing rivers, lakes, groundwater, filled with all sorts of viruses, bacteria, microorganisms. Just because that's where our water comes from doesn't mean that's the life-giving pure water we put inside our bodies. It goes through coagulation, filtration, removing of all of these sediments, and some filtered water is used for something different. It's filtered even more to use for something different until it comes to the perfect space where we're able to consume it as humans safely. I like to give that comparison just to understand that just because it comes from a certain space doesn't mean after it's gone through all of this refinement and processes is that's what's ending
up
on your
skin. That's a good one. So you're not putting petrol on your skin or oil, or crude oil. There is a whole environmental issue here, because oil is finite substance. And so is it, you know, environmentally sound to be using refined petroleum in skincare products? There's all that side of it too, which I think also is very confusing. Oil is a fossil fuel. So there's that as well. And then the whole process of refining, it also affects the environment through, you know, the carbon footprint. Companies like the company that makes Vaseline, Unilever I'm not a proponent of skincare companies or trying to say that they're this great company, but you know, they're trying very hard to find a way to keep their carbon footprint low and, you know, to make it more sustainable.
Actually, Goddess, there is this amazing YouTube video I'm going to link for you in this episode description, which actually explains why it's not environmentally unfriendly. And they take you through the entire process of where it's oiled in mind and why it's a byproduct and why it's not bad for the environment. So I'm going to link that below, but that's like an entirely different conversation because there's so much to say. Now that we understand why do we love petroleum jelly, what is it good for, and it is a highly refined byproduct, you're not putting crude oil or petroleum on your face, let's talk a little bit about how consumers are kept safe, because there's a lot to be said about that as well. So if you are launching your beauty products in the EU, you have to go through the European cosmetic regulations. And in the US, they have the FDA as a regulator. And in the EU, especially, they have the Committee for Consumer Safety, which is really an objective group of people put together to look at the ingredients and to then evaluate whether this is safe for human use or not at a cosmetic grade level. And even they have not found scientific evidence that it is harmful to your health as used in cosmetic products, but they went a step further and then said, okay, listen, to appease everybody, you have to prove where this comes from and you have to prove the entire refinement process and you have to then prove that this is the petroleum or petrolatum using in your products. Am I understanding this correctly? And are there all of these checks and balances in place and can we trust them?
So yes, they are in place as far as I'm aware. And yes, you can trust them because the same is done for, so the FDA also regulates medicines. So the same applies to medicines. And so obviously we would hope that they have a very high standard for that as well. So you could say, you know, we can't trust anyone in the government or whatever, but I think we have to trust somebody.
Also, the point is, right, whether you're pro or against it, these are individuals that are expert chemists and experts in the skincare field. They are literally there to objectively evaluate these ingredients and to say whether it is yes or is not. And in that sense, there are ingredients that have been scrapped and said, no, you cannot use this in a cosmetic product. It is not safe. All the years and all of the social media information that's gone by, there still hasn't been a SCCS opinion to state that petroleum jelly is harmful to your health. What makes it really interesting to me, and also I think very difficult, is even if you don't like petroleum jelly or petrolatum, I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's a 95% chance you have something in your cupboard that does contain it.
In your cupboard. Yeah. And I get a lot of crap for this. Yeah. Whenever I say this, I always get tons of DMs on social media. If I go and say, you're almost certainly using a product with petroleum jelly in it, whether you like it or not. And you just don't even realize because the words are so, there's so many words for the same ingredient, because it just depends on what the company has kind of put in or what the skincare company's put in. So paraffin oil, paraffin wax, you know, these are all the same. They're all byproducts of different forms of crude oil. All these words, mineral oil, like Nivea products, mm-hmm. for example, have paraffins in them, but most moisturizers do. And Nivea is one of the most prolific moisturizers aside from Vaseline, you know, you can buy on the market. So whether you like it or not, you're almost certainly using something with Vaseline in it.
Scary, maybe for some, but it's because it's so effective.
Yes,
and it's because it works, you know. So, okay, you can make the argument, okay, but why can I, if I'm still scared to use it and I just don't want to take a chance, why can I not just replace it with like a synthetic form of mineral oil or a more natural form? And as I understand it, there are reasons why we use it because it's so effective. The mineral, synthetic mineral options are 50% less effective than petroleum, and the natural options even less so. And then I think if you go into natural options, then you're really starting to also think about sustainability. Do you really want to be doing that to the environment? Natural isn't always better or safer. We have this kind of argument going on. What would you say to a patient or people saying, okay, can I just rather use an alternative? What would that alternative be?
Yeah, I don't know what the alternative would be. Well, I mean, lanolin, glycerin, propylene glycol. There's all these other things. I mean, Vaseline's pretty, I think petroleum jelly is fairly natural. I mean, it comes from petrol, from crude oil. Crude oil is one of the most natural products on the planet. So I don't know what's more natural than that. But there aren't many alternatives. Because people don't really realize that there are petrolatum compounds, if you will, in their normal moisturizers. So I tend to not talk to patients in those terms. So I just say, if you don't like Vaseline, like specifically, because some people think it smells like petrol, which I don't think it does, but whatever. So people think it smells funny. They don't like the texture. So I'm like, okay, we'll just use another ointment. So Aquaphor, QV ointment. And these are all the same. So yeah, it's also based on paraffin. So I'm like, if you prefer the word paraffin, which is like candle wax, then you go right ahead and use the paraffin product. So I don't actually have this with patients because they think of it as like Vaseline literally versus any other moisturizer. So they're more than happy to use Aquaphor skin soothing skin balm, which is basically Vaseline, but it comes in a tube as opposed to in a jar, not yellow, you know, so it's like suddenly it's not as bad. You know, like you said at the beginning, the skincare is so personal. And it's so subjective that if you don't like something, just don't use it. It doesn't make a huge difference because in the end, you're going to get hydration from whatever product you use. I would prefer my patients to use something as basic as possible. So I don't want them to use loads of products with tons and tons of ingredients in them. So I like Vaseline because it's just one thing. And the risk of it being irritating or causing any reactions with anything else is extremely low. You know, it's virtually impossible to have a reaction to Vaseline. It's like literally one of the most non-reactive things on the planet when it comes to skincare. So I prefer my patients use as pure of a product as possible, and you can't get purer than Vaseline, literally. But if they don't like it, then I'm like, all right, well, just use something else you do like. And in the end, we're going to get to the same result.
I mean, I love it. I always have a little tub with me because I have really, really sensitive skin, and nothing saves my skin having a super flare up like Vaseline. I love to slug with it because it just feels like it calms everything down, just makes everything a little bit better for me. Let's get into some of the major things. First and foremost, is it a known carcinogen, and what is a carcinogen?
So a carcinogen is a compound or something, a substance that can cause cancer in humans, So it's based off animal studies usually. There is no evidence to date at all that petrolatum is carcinogenic. There is no evidence for that. So whether it's eaten, like ingested, or applied to the skin. So because the studies were done with the original.
Even though it's eaten?
Yeah.
Even
when ingested. So, I mean, the guy who discovered or created Vaseline, Robert Cheeseborough, the English dude who was knighted by the Queen, apparently he used to eat a tablespoon of Vaseline a day, and he died when he was like 95 of like natural causes. So, and he lived in the 1800s, which is, if you live till you're like 85 from the 1800s, that means you're pretty darn healthy. Most people didn't live that long. But so he would eat, the myth is that he would eat a tablespoon a day, and he said it was good for his bowels. So where the whole concept or problem came from is that there were these studies done 40 years ago on a specific kind of strain of rat where they fed them loads of petrolatum basically. And they stored it in their livers. It accumulated in the livers, and their bodies responded with an immune response, because when you have a foreign body of any sort in your body, your immune system will respond to that, like a splinter, or if you eat something that's not supposed to be there. So it was carcinogenic in these rats. But then they found that when the rats were no longer fed petrolatum, they were able to get rid of it from their bodies naturally, and they just kind of cleared it of their systems. So those animal feeding studies are where this whole problem came from. But animal feeding studies are way out, not relevant to really to humans. Rats are not humans. And also the amount of stuff they fed them is massive. Compared to human.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to the amount that you would ingest as a human, which is basically zero. So the short answer is there is no evidence that petrolatum is in any way carcinogenic in humans at all.
And just to like bring that home, I consider myself a really awesome researcher. It's my superpower. And I spent literally the last week just researching this, and I could not find one study saying that it is a carcinogen. All of the sources linking to it's dangerous, it's a carcinogen, is a newspaper article or somebody's YouTube channel, but there's no reference to an actual study or a report or any kind of medical basis for that. So the next thing is it's comedogenic, so it clogs your pores and it causes breakouts.
No, it does not. So it definitely does not do that. I wrote about this in my book because comedogenicity is, extremely complicated topic. And the original person who did the most research on this, including Vaseline, was Dr. Albert Kligman. So back in, he did those prisoner studies, which I know are very unethical. It's not ethical to test things on prisoners, even if it's a skin thing. And that obviously is a problem. But we do have some very interesting information from that. And so he did all those tests. He used Vaseline on people who have acne-prone skin. And he was able to show that Vaseline does not cause comedones. So it does not lead to breakouts. Again, with patients, it comes down to how you personally feel about it. Some patients swear to me that Vaseline or anything even remotely greasy will give them breakouts. I tell them that almost certainly not true. But if a patient feels like that, you can't get around that. So I'd have to just go with it and just say, fine, okay, don't use it.
Is it correct to understand that the molecules in Vaseline are just so big, they cannot possibly penetrate the pores and clog the pores?
Partially so, but comedogenicity is more complicated than just kind of particles sitting in pores, because it has to do with the way the hair follicle functions. You can have irritants that also can clog pores, but they don't really clog pores. It's about the lining of the hair follicle not shedding properly. And that is usually a dysfunction of the hair follicle, which is it's the patient. So it's nothing you put on your face. It's how your hair follicles function. So it's much more than just something sitting on your skin, because makeup doesn't cause acne. Like, makeup is not comedogenic.
Yeah.
at all. And nothing really does that. So there are some chemicals that do, but those are used as control substances when you're testing comedogenicity. So we have like isopropyl myristate is a known comedogenic agent. Things like coal tar. Vaseline is used as a negative control. If you look at studies where skincare companies are trying to test whether their product, because it's the end product that's being tested, their end product causes comedones, they usually put it on someone's back and they'll use a known comedogenic substance as a positive control. They'll use a negative control like Vaseline to show that it does not clog pores, because you have to have a control either way. Mm-hmm. And then you put your product on there and then you compare on the same skin sample or whatever it is. So Vaseline is used in that sense, in that way. It's pretty much been shown over and over and over again to not cause comedones or clogged pores. True acne vulgaris, so true acne breakouts, are not due to anything you're putting on your skin. And it also doesn't really usually get better with anything you put on your skin, which is another kind of way to look at it. So topical treatments for acne are generally ineffective for most people, especially if you have bad acne. Acne is a hair follicle dysfunction. So it's a dysfunction of the pilosebaceous unit, so the hair follicle and the oil gland. And so I think it needs to be viewed like that. And it's not the patient's fault. You have not done anything. It's not the sunscreen you used last week. It's not the fact you go to bed with your makeup on. It's not because you go to the gym every day and lie on a mat with your face. It's none of that. However, you can get an acneiform eruption that is due to irritation, but that does not look like true acne. So I see acneiform eruptions that are not acne, that are due to irritants, like, for example, not washing your face and then putting a lot of products on and so on. Then you can get irritation of the hair follicle, and that's a different problem. And that looks different. So, but it would look the same to an untrained eye. I can tell the difference between acne and a follicular irritation and a perioral dermatitis and a rosacea, da, 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 but that's because I'm trained. That's my job, right? But I wouldn't expect anyone else that's not trained to do that to be able to differentiate that. Acne, true acne vulgaris, or true breakouts are due to a pilosebaceous dysfunction and not anything that you have done.
So again, Figgy Goddess, like I'm always telling you, please talk to your dermatologist. They are the experts in skincare. Don't listen to skinfluencers. If you really have a problem, go to your medical expert and ask them for, proper advice and diagnosis. Yeah. So the last one that I hear a lot and I get a lot of questions about is you cannot use Vaseline because it causes milia.
Oh, yeah.
Can you explain to us what is milia and why it does or does not cause it?
Milia are inclusion cysts. So they are keratin cysts in the skin, which are, which we don't know why they form. Okay. So I don't know why people get milia. I can come up with some interesting theories, but it's almost certainly not accurate. So whether or not occlusive agents like Vaseline would cause milia, I can't tell you that. And I don't know, actually. Some patients come into me and say they swear that it's the cream they're using. And so I'm like, okay, well then just, don't use it if you think it's causing milia.
Milia, it's those small white spots you see underneath your eyes, right? And it's hard.
They can be anywhere on your face, really, but they generally occur around the eyes. I mean, I see them in children, and actually they're very common in children. Why they occur in children, I have no idea. It's not because they use Vaseline on their, around their eyes, obviously not. And I had an 8-year-old yesterday with milia, and I was like, well, the mother said, what can I do? And I was like, nothing. They will go away on their own. It's not something I'm going to treat. So I don't treat them in adults either. If you have one of them and it's big, yes, okay, I'll take it out for you. It can be quite difficult to remove them anyway. You really have to squeeze the cyst. You have to get the keratin cyst out. So they can be quite difficult. There are disorders of kind of what are called eruptive milia disorders. Why does that happen to people? I don't know. I've seen that only once. It was an older lady, and for 20 years, she had an entire like plaque milia basically on her forehead. And it was just something I'd never seen like that before. And it's a recognized condition, but it's extremely rare. We don't know why this happens to people. I mean, it's probably a dysfunction of the hair follicle, just like acne. But why, I don't know. So I would say that because we don't know what causes them, I can't tell you that acne is a culprit, or sorry, that Vaseline is a culprit. But if you think that it's causing your milia, then just stop using that product.
Go with what works for you. See what your body responds to and make the best decisions you can for yourself. to just round everything up, is it safe to use Vaseline? Is it safe to use petroleum jelly?
Yes, it is. And if you like it, great. If you don't like it, that's fine, because any other product you're using is almost certainly going to have it in there anyway. So I don't really mind, because when it comes down to moisturizer, you just use what you like to use, what you can afford, if you like spending money on skincare, go ahead. You know, skincare generally is, I consider, a luxury item. It's not something that anyone needs. So if you want to spend money on a certain product, then you go right ahead. People don't tell me how to spend my money. I'm not going to tell you how to spend yours. If you have a skin problem, then I'm going to be a little more specific about what I'd like you to use. But in the end, it does come down to personal choice and what you like. I think Vaseline is by far the best moisturizer available. I think it's like what you're saying. It's very not reactive. It can really soothe irritated skin. It's well established as a treatment for eczema, things like that. But again, if you don't like it, don't use it. But it's very safe. So don't use it because you think it's unsafe. Don't use it because you don't like it. That's different.
And there you have it from the skin intelligent expert.
Yeah, if you don't like it, don't use it. But otherwise, you know, you should probably use it. It's cheap and cheerful, and it's very effective for what it does. You can use it all over your body. Use lips, eyes, in your nose, like whatever.
In staying with true fashion with the Figgy Life, where we say life always happens, there are no secrets to happiness, what is one thing you do on the daily to live your best life?
I think it's I try to get enough rest. Sleep is one way to rest, but also just like having a mental break from everything, phones and like, I mean, I have two phones, WhatsApp, email, phone, Instagram. I think for me personally, prioritizing my own rest and of course sleep, but just like having a break and scheduling in that rest time is really important to me. And I think that that's really been a game changer for my general well-being and my ability to do my job well and kind of function at the high level that I want to function at. And I kind of say now, when people say to me, like, what's the number one thing you tell people to do for their health? I'd say just rest enough. Because you're no good to anyone if you're tired.
Yeah. Dr. Spearings, where can our audience find you? Where do they go to follow you on socials, your website, your email? And most importantly, where can they buy you your book? You have to read this book. If you are a Figgy goddess and you love what we do, you are going to love this book. Oh, you have to read it.
Thank you. Yes, you can buy the book on Amazon. It's available on Kindle and Amazon. It's a very inexpensive book. So it's on all the Amazons. So that's always easy to get. It's a paperback, so it's quite easy to carry around. I'm on Instagram.
Give us the name again. Give us the full name of the book.
Yes, Skin Intelligence, which you really need to know to get great skin. I mainly do Instagram myself. So my Instagram handle is at Dr. Natalia Spearings. And my website is also DrNataliaSpearings.com. It's just my name.
Wonderful. And if you're driving, as always, know that all of the links will be in this episode notes and the show notes. And I will also put a link to the book for you in the notes so that you can easily find it. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for clearing this up for us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone.
So there you have it, Figgy Goddess. And remember, as always, everyone deserves to celebrate the goddess within. Until next time, bye. Enjoying the conversation? Please consider following and subscribing to the My Figgy Life podcast. Share our episodes so we can grow our community. Go to figgylife.com and subscribe to our newsletter so you're aware of all the latest podcast episodes, blog posts, and Figgy news. Remember, everyone deserves to celebrate the goddess within.